Hello and welcome to the Early Roots Podcast. I'm your host, Emily Roper. I'm going to use this episode to tell my story, specifically about how I became an NDD therapist. And I can't remember if I've mentioned it before in other podcasts or not, but I went through NDD therapy as a teenager, and it's one of the big reasons that I'm a therapist today. It's also one of the reasons why I love working with teenagers. I'm really grateful that I had the opportunity to go through this therapy as a teenager. I think that my life would look very different right now if I hadn't had that experience. So let me back up and start from the beginning to kind of paint a picture. So when I was a kid, I was constantly on the go. I have old home videos of my cousin Kaylee and I at a gymnastics class when we were probably 4 or 5 years old. And Kaylee was sitting perfectly in line with all of the other kids, and she followed all of the instructions, and I just ran wild. The poor gymnastics assistant kept chasing after me and trying to get me to pay attention and participate with the class. If you fast forward to school age, not much had changed. I only attended school through the third grade and then was homeschooled after that. And I don't have a lot of memories from first grade. I don't really remember any specific problems that year, but in second grade, that's when things started to change. I really hated going to school. I did fine academically, but I struggled with every other aspect of school. I really, really dreaded going. I struggled socially, I had constant stomach aches, and at the time, my parents thought that it was something physical. They did all sorts of allergy testing and doctor's visits. But looking back, I'm fairly certain that all of the stomach problems were anxiety related. That's a common thing that I see in the kids that I work with. And I remember getting really upset about something one day at school and hiding under a teacher's desk. And I was there for almost a whole class period. They had to call someone in to get me out. And I don't really remember much else about the second grade, but all of the memories that I have are tainted with anxiety. In third grade, things got a little bit better. I liked that school a lot more, but I still really struggled being in a classroom setting. And I feel like I'm lucky that I was born over 30 years ago, because I think if I were in school now, I would have definitely been diagnosed with ADHD or at least anxiety. And I think that they would have strongly recommended that I was put on meds. Now that I'm on the other side of it, I'm really grateful that that didn't happen and that I had another option. In between the third and fourth grade, we moved from Colorado to Oklahoma, and my mom decided to pull all of the kids out and homeschool us. And I'm really, really grateful that she did. Once I started homeschooling, my hyperactivity became a lot less of a problem. I could stay still long enough to get through some school, and then we took lots of breaks to play outside and to move. I honestly think I might have spent more time on the trampoline than I spent reading, and it was really, really helpful for me. I actually started to like school. Learning had always come pretty easy when I wasn't stuck in a classroom environment. And this is one area that I differ in from a lot of the kids that I see. The actual academic piece of learning wasn't ever really an issue for me. It was more about anxiety and attention. However, being homeschooled didn't really help the anxiety piece. It didn't go away. And neither did the social struggles. My social skills developed really slowly. I mostly gravitated towards helping with the babies and the younger kids rather than playing with kids my own age. I also really struggled with changes and transitions. I remember one day after my mom switched our chore schedule, I spent several hours crying in my room about it. I was 12, and I was completely overwhelmed with a really, really small change. I also struggled with really black and white thinking and with difficulty regulating emotions of all kinds. I struggled with excitement and attention, too. I remember when I first started volleyball, we only practiced about once a week, and I was obsessed. I would get so excited before practice that I couldn't sleep the night before. I would wake up feeling sick and so hyper-focused on going, and that lasted for a long time. It didn't settle in once I got used to going. And a lot of people don't think about the connection between excitement and stress, but they are very similar physiologically. It's all a part of our arousal circuits, which regulate our focus, our attention, our fear, and our excitement. Kids with an immature stress response can be prone to hyperexcitement, hyperactivity, obsessiveness, things along those lines. As I became a teenager, my symptoms started to change. And as a side note, this is something that's really important for parents to know. It's really common to see, especially in girls. And when girls start going through puberty, they have a very normal spike in anxiety and in negative emotions. You typically see a rise in things like self-consciousness, irritability, and emotionality, and this is normal. Girls who are just coming into their sexual maturity are entering a very vulnerable stage of development. They're also experiencing a lot of hormonal changes, and it's believed that this spike in anxiety and in negative emotions is protective. It's there to make them more aware of their environment and individuals who may pose a threat. And it's similar to the changes that you see new moms experience when they're caring for a newborn. New moms also experience heightened anxiety and arousal levels. They also experience memory shifts. And most of the time, we think of the memory changes as memory loss. But I saw a study that compared different types of memory and cognitive function recently. And while most new moms experience a decline in everyday memory, when it comes to their child, they tend to get a huge boost. And some of this may be due to sleep deprivation, which can have a negative impact on cognitive function. But in general, it seems like pregnancy and motherhood just shifts cognitive function. And as incredibly complex and advanced as the human brain is, there's a really deep part at the core of our brain and bodies that's just purely mammal. You can really see this part of our brain take over when we go through big transitions, like what you see with new moms and what you see in girls when they go through puberty. When girls go through puberty, if their stress response is already out of whack, then puberty can really aggravate these symptoms and you may see them start to shift. For me, they shifted. I started to have a lot more depressive symptoms and I developed an obsessive compulsive disorder called trichotillomania. It's a form of OCD characterized by compulsive hair pulling, and it's actually something that I see in my practice a fair amount. I have another podcast episode that goes into more detail about OCD and anxiety, but if your kid is actually pulling their hair out, you should listen to that episode. And in the middle of all this, my aunt found an NDD therapist in Colorado named Anna Buck. And Anna has unfortunately retired. She retired several years ago, but she left quite a mark in Colorado. And one of the kids she helped was my cousin, Jack. And when I was a young teenager, I got to witness some really amazing changes in him. And I was really interested in learning more. He let me go to a few of his appointments, and Anna was super encouraging. After I learned more, I started to recognize some of the things in myself. I also knew that I was interested in this line of work as a career option, so I really wanted to learn more. I started seeing Anna and going through NDD therapy when I was a teen, I think 15 or 16. I can't really remember what age I started. But I, like so many of the kids I work with, had a retained Moro reflex and a very hyperactive stress response. And little by little, this started to improve. My anxiety lifted, my emotions matured, I developed better and better social skills, and best of all, my OCD disappeared. School, planning, attention, all became easier and easier, and I was completely sold. I knew from a pretty young age that this was a career path that I wanted to pursue. And once I graduated high school, I got my undergraduate degree in psychology. And in order to get into the postgraduate program at INPP, that's the Institute of Neurophysiological Psychology, you have to have an undergraduate degree in a field allied to psychology, medicine, or education, and then you need 5 years of professional work experience. I had no intention of waiting 5 years after completing my undergrad before going to INPP. So while I was in college, I worked to get as much experience with kids as possible. My hope was that some of it would count towards that 5 years. I worked as a preschool teacher at a daycare, and I did tutoring, too. Then in my senior year of college, I spent part of the summer interning with Anna at Anna's house. That was the name of her practice. And while I was there, Anna's daughter, who also worked there, was pregnant, and she was due pretty soon. So everybody was very, very excited about the upcoming baby. And she was using midwives and planning an out-of-hospital birth, which I was super interested in. I was born at home. My mom had used a midwife with me. And so growing up, I had heard all sorts of stories about how wonderful that experience had been for her. But I didn't really know very many people who had been born at home. So during that summer internship, Anna and her daughter taught me a lot about the connection between the birth process and long-term neurological development. It was something that I hadn't really considered up to that point. I had taken a ton of child development classes and developmental psych classes, and I knew about the strong connection between pregnancy and neurological development, but all of those classes had skimmed over the birth process. And I have a whole in-depth special podcast episode on this topic, so I won't go into too much detail here. But birth is a big missing piece in most developmental fields. And I left that internship with a fire to learn more about birth. So when I got back home, I lived in Oklahoma at the time, I enrolled in a childbirth doula training and began working my way through the required reading list. The more I learned, the more that I realized I had a deep passion for both professional fields. While I finished up my senior year of college, I did a little work as a childbirth doula. Not much, though I think I attended 6 or 7 births, just enough to get my feet wet. And I was also in contact with INPP and told them that I was really interested in their postgraduate program and that I knew I didn't fully meet all of their qualifications, but wanted to attend as soon as possible. And they said that if I had at least one more year of education in a complementary field, that they would accept the education and experience I had and I could attend the following year. And as it happened, the month after I graduated, a midwifery practice in Oklahoma called Community Midwifery Services had an opening for a new midwife assistant student. And so I jumped on board. Their program consisted of a didactic curriculum and a clinical apprenticeship, and I loved it. I have always loved learning. I loved college, but the midwifery program was better. It taught me how to really learn and understand information, not just how to answer questions. It dove deep into physiology and health, and it was a really interesting complement to my psych background. The clinical apprenticeship was also extremely helpful. It taught me how to kind of get out of the books and out of the research and learn to take care of individuals that you have in front of you. The assistant program is somewhat self-paced. It took me about 2 years to complete both the didactic and clinical requirements. And a year into that program, I also applied to INPP and I got in. So that year, I completed their postgraduate program and I finished up the midwifery assistant program. And I finished with a deep love for both. And I've continued to do both professionally since then. And the two fields look very different. But having dived so deeply into both, it's really easy to see the connections. Our brain is such a complicated, impressive organ, and there are so many layers to how it's built. So often, we look at problems like attention or reading, and we look at them in isolation. We look as if it's a problem specific to that one isolated area of the brain, but that's not how anything works. I'm really grateful that I got the varied education and that I received help as a teenager. I love that every day I get to help kids who are in the same position or worse. And if you have a kiddo that sounds like me, one with attentional problems, anxiety, OCD, or one with learning difficulties, then you can go onto my website, earlyrootstherapy.com, to learn more. I have connections with other practitioners in the US and even around the world. There are not too many of us in the U.S. yet, but it's something that's growing. I can try to get you hooked up with someone local to you. I also offer remote services for people who don't have anyone close to them. I know how hard it can be to be in the thick of it, but there's so much hope for these kids. I am really grateful that I got help as a teenager. I think it changed the trajectory of my life in a huge way. And I'm also really grateful for the change and the growth that I get to see in the kids that I work with every day. As always, thank you so much for listening. I hope you learned something helpful.